You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Supernatural Provision.
Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God, Paul's love letter, his appreciation letter to his greatest low-maintenance church, who were just great givers. And they helped him, and they helped him to get to the place that he had no need in his life. By the way, can I tell you all this? Paul, especially for the Corinthian church, he would preach by day and make tents and sell tents by night. He was bivocational. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even letting, at least in the 1 Corinthians, he apologized for in 2 Corinthians. He wouldn't even let that church receive offers for him or give them anything. He said, I'm laboring with my own hand. He would rent his own apartment and rent places to live while he was there in these places preaching. He said, because I don't want you to say I'm preaching for money. He said, I don't want to be chargeable to you. I want you to be uncontaminated by the word and just focus on the word. So he worked by night making tents and selling tents and preaching by day. And some of them had a problem with him even receiving anything. And secondly, he apologized to them. He said, y'all lag behind all the other churches. He said, y'all are falling behind all the. And he said, but I realize why. He said, because I wouldn't let y'all give into my life. And as a result of that, you're lacking. You're lagging behind the other churches. Because there's a blessing. Come on, I'm just saying. There's a blessing when you get to your man of God. I'm not saying it because I am one. I'm saying it because I do it, and I still do it, and I continue to do it. One of my prayers is, God, raise up spiritual sons and daughters in my house to be the kind of spiritual sons and daughters that Pastor Marcia have been to our spiritual leaders. Amen. People who will be loyal like that, who will be committed like that, who will sow like that, and be consistent. Amen. So, because you really have no right to receive what you will not give. So Paul writes to them in Philippians 4:19 and says, but because you have given and consistently given to my ministry, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The operative words here that we are highlighting is God shall supply. Everybody say God shall supply. So we're talking about supernatural provision. And we're being distinctive that we're talking about God supplying beyond what you can supply. Okay? We're talking about God supplying. Let me share this testimony with you. Maybe help me out here. We're gonna look at the card when I tell you here. But let me give you the full praise report. How many y'all? It was in this service last week, right? I first heard, but this one that was Lindsay, right? Okay, this is her testimony, who I gave the $5,000 to. And so, in this great introduction for today's message about supernatural provision. It says, hey, pastors, I want to share the full praise report of my car with you both, as you were a big part of it. So my car got totaled in May, and I told God that I wanted my next car to be debt-free. I dare you to say that. Say, God, I want my next car to be debt-free. Some of y'all have never said that. That's why you're always making payments. Because you don't think like that. He said, I told the Lord I want my next car to be debt-free, and that someone was going to bless me with it. Daily, I confessed and called in my debt-free car. During that time, I also told God I wanted to give more to you and to Pastor Chandler on a regular. I guess that means regular basis. On the regular. Okay. So I started sowing, and ever since then, it's like God has continued to provide me with seed to be able to sow to you all twice a week with ease and no fear of lack. So of course the devil kept coming and telling me it's not going to happen, that nobody could just give me a debt-free car without me having to pay anything out of pocket. I knew I couldn't afford any payments. Come on, and y'all have been in that situation? Now let me use this as a teaching moment. If you cannot afford any payments, then God got to do something that you don't have to have payments. See, how you mess up is you know you can't afford any payments, but you think, well, that's the only way to do it. So you go ahead and squeeze in another payment that you already knew you couldn't afford. And you squeeze in another payment and you can't breathe and you can't live because you didn't squeeze in another payment. Y'all know that's what that feels like. Really, and because this is where I got. There was a time I couldn't get no payments anyway, but nobody gonna loan me a piece of bubble gum, okay? And then it was that place where I couldn't. But the last thing I needed was another payment. Amen. I told you years ago my car broke down. I was a minister of music and assistant pastor and all this here, but the church didn't give me any money. Okay, I did all this stuff years. When you'll see my resume, I served for 6 years since the pastor. I wasn't on salary. The church didn't pay me. I preached once a month and took a little offering from me. Okay, but my car broke down. And we had one car, my transmission went out, and I went to the pastor for some help, and he said, I'll loan you the money. I'm like, man, the last thing in the world I need is a loan right now. Amen. So can I tell you this? Sometimes if somebody comes to you and you know the last thing they need is another loan, don't give them one. Ask God, should you give it to them? If God don't tell you to give it to them, then you're probably not the person. And you don't need to just give them another loan. No, I'm very serious about that. I know they want one, but all this is just going to create more conflict in their life. Because now you just another person they're going to be avoiding. So I asked God if you should give it to him. All right. Where was I at? Want a debt-free card without me having to pay anything. I knew I couldn't afford any payments. And in the natural, as a single mom, it would take me a while to save up for a car. I started to save anyway and continued to believe God. Continued to sow and call in my car every day. How often did she do it?
Every day.
There were days where I got down looking at my account because something had come up and I had to take from what I was trying to save. But God reminded me that what I said, what I asked him for, and how I'd asked him to bless me, someone sowing a debt-free car to me. And I had nothing to do with my account. Hearing your teaching on supernatural provision helped me to keep strong in faith like I never had before. The end of last month, my grandmother went out of town and she said that I could hold her car while she was gone. She'd be back on October 11th. I remember telling her, Grandma, by the time you get back, I'm going to have my car and I'm going to have to park yours so I can drive mine. Look, somebody say, this is how you work your faith. This is how you work your faith. I remember sitting in church taking notes and posting points as it was my Sunday to do social media. I don't know if you work with social media ministry. And you asked me to stand and told me you won't give me $5,000 towards my car. From the cars that I've been looking at, that was more than enough to get the car I wanted, as well as have some left for car insurance. So basically, God answered my prayers and gave me my debt-free car. On top of that, my daughter texted me during service and said, Mommy, you just told G that you were going to have your car before she came back. For those you don't know what G is, G's grandma when you're cool. You know what I'm saying? G. Okay. That's what a grandma don't want to be called, grandma. So you tell me, I'm just call me G. Don't call you OG. Okay. Mom, you just told G that you were going to have your car before she came back. Her seeing me work my faith and it come to pass has helped her as well. I have my car as of today, October 7th, 4 days before my grandmother gets back in town. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. I can't thank you enough for listening to God and giving me the $5,000 and teaching the word the way you both do. My faith is on another level. And I'm going to continue to sow faithfully. And one day I'll be able to raise my hand when you ask if somebody has a car that they can sow to someone. I'm confident that God will put me in that position. It's all because of the awesome teaching I get here at RDCI. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, praise God with her. All right. So as you had your seats today, talking about supernatural provision, you're going to have to allow God to take you through situations where you have no choice but to trust him. Because there are two systems. And I want to talk a little bit about that. In order to see supernatural vision, you got to trust God and trust his system, the King of God, the kingdom of God system, more than the world system. So let's look at this car situation. The world system is go down to a car lot, fill out an application, sit in the booth, and pray in tongues. Oh, y'all ain't done that, huh? Let me try it again. Go down the car lot, fill out an application, sit in the booth, and then pray in tongues. Well, I'll be right back. Go talk to my manager. Oh, we're going to go and put this in. And you sit there. And then they come back and say, you approve. And you want to go, hey! And then they start working out the payments. And then when I was in car business, now watch this. I'm going to help y'all here. You never go shopping for a car based upon payments. Okay? The first and sale, this is the world system. This is their system. You get a car based upon the payments you can afford. So you say, I don't want the payments to go over $400 a month. So they get you in a car that really you may only have to pay $300 a month. But you told them, as long as you don't go over $400 a month. So they tell you, we got your payment at $390. And watch it. And in this $390, we also got you some rust proofing. You got extended warranty. And we just going to throw all that in. And you think they just throwing it in. We just going, no. Because since you told them, long as you're under four, they putting everything they can put in there to keep you under $400 a month. You don't buy a car based upon the payment. You buy a car based upon the value of the car. Amen? So you got to know the value of a car. One of the people asked me this week, and so Pastor, what do I do? And I said, well, you go to Kelly Blue Book, go to NADA. First, you got to know the value of the car. And can I tell y'all something? I hope I ain't messed my car sales people up. People can make more money selling used cars than they do new cars. They can make more money selling used cars than new cars. Because new cars, generally, you have a more sophisticated buyer who probably got decent credit and all that kind of stuff. The used cars, I just need a car. And if you just need a car, guess what they got? A car. Remember, like I told y'all, when they were going to repossess my car, and the repo man said, what he said he wanted? He said, I had checks. As long as he didn't ask for no money, I was good. He needed a check. So you just need a car. You get a car. Okay? And so you need to educate yourself. So the world system, you go sit in the booth, and then you help the payment, and then you watch it, and then the way you're all doing it now, okay? I have financed cars, okay? I have never financed a car over 48 months. I have never. Okay? I'm telling you why you don't finance car. Because especially, and most of y'all, you consider a blessing not putting money down on the car. So if you put no money down on a car, then you are stretching that car payment out as far as you can take it. And from the time you go off the lot, you will always be what they call in the car business upside down in that car. That means that car is, you're always going to owe more money than it's worth. And if you take as long as long and long to pay for it, you will never get on, you will never reverse that thing. Now, when I was selling cars, when I started selling, I was buying them, is that they didn't finance. Now they tell me they'll finance you for 72 months. Used to be 65 years. Now they'll go 6 years. And you make a minimum payment on a car that you bought, say, for $25,000, and now if you walk off, you drive off the lot, it's worth $20,000, and you make a minimum payment, and now it's you still owe $18,000, and now it's worth $15,000. You owe $16,000, now it's worth $13,000. You owe $15,000, now it's worth $12,000. And now that is a liability to you, and it's not an asset. Are y'all with me here? So that's the world system. The world system is that you fill out an application, you get approved by man. And if you're approved by man, it can happen. That's the world system. But how do you know that God can approve you and man may not approve you? God can approve you and man has disapproved you. God can say yes and man said no. And so God has all types of ways to bless you beyond the traditions of man's system. So when I'm talking about supernatural provision, I'm talking about trusting God in a way that you never heard of through conventional means. Now, I was on a slow bus. Pastor Marcia believed God for this kind of life long before I did. When we were in Maine and we didn't own a house and met Pastor Marcia, I don't know who she would listen to, what she was watching on TV, what tapes she was reading, what books she would read. But she kept saying, God could give us a house supernatural. She kept saying, you know, God could just speak to somebody and give us a house. Now, you need to understand, I'm from the hood. You know what I'm saying? Now, first of all, people had jobs who didn't own a house. Okay, and you know, first of all, even thinking house when everybody you know is renting, that was a whole level level. And she kept saying, God can give us that. And one day I said, will you stop this? Nobody just give nobody no house. Just like some of y'all would have thought, there are people who will. There's a young lady in the church who I blessed with a car years ago, and see, because how people naturally think. And she said, and she got the car, she said, and she told people, my pastor bought this car for me. And folks said, and you know, he like you? No, seriously. He trying to get with you? Because in their mind, they don't believe that God could do that kind of stuff. So it got to be a hook to it. It got to be something. No, God wants to do things in a way that only he gets glory. Everybody say, God's going to bless me through non-conventional means. So I have to trust God's system more than I trust the world's system. Colossians 1 and 13, it reminds us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So when you got born again, you've been translated. A couple of weeks ago, I was all excited. I didn't know what they were doing. We just stumbled through the TV and I saw this new Star Trek thing. I was excited. I started tweeting about it. I love Star Trek. I was all excited. And then I saw they got this CBS streaming or something. You got to pay. I said, that's the devil. I guess I won't be watching that Star Trek. Now, Pastor Marcia, she was all she wants to watch. So you can pay if you want. I said, I ain't paying for nothing between Hulu and Yulu and OU2. No, really. I'm like, I ain't, stop it. Hulu and Netflix and Apple TV and stop it! Let's just go back to three stations: ABC, NBC, CBS, and public television. Some of us, we grew up with that. Most of the channels you pay for, all these channels, you watch five. You got 200, but you watch five. But on Star Trek, they have this thing. They used to beam them. Okay? Beam me up, Scotty. And then, you were here, and now you're there. You were here, and they beam you and translate you into a new planet. That's what happened when you got born again. When you got saved, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're in the kingdom now. Look at somebody and say, I'm in the kingdom now. So, in the kingdom of God, I have to learn the rules, the principles, the constitution, the laws of the kingdom. The word of God is designed to give us the laws to the kingdom. So we've had people from this country who've gotten arrested in North Korea for doing something that they would not get arrested for in America. Right? Okay. You know, here you can pass out. We got the freedom to proselytize and evangelize and witness. You can give somebody a Bible. You can give someone a tract if they're willing to take it. You know, but there you can't do that. So somebody did that over there, and they got arrested and were sent into the labor camps, because that goes against their kingdom system. When you get saved, you have to learn how the rules of this kingdom work. So when you heard the testimony, see, one of the rules of the kingdom is that if you believe something, you got to speak it with your mouth. That's why she said, every day I called in. And the rules of the kingdom is that I call those things that be not as though they were. The rules, the principles of the kingdom are, is that there is an invisible world that supersedes this natural world. And I got to focus on the things that are not seen more than the things that are seen. Everybody say the kingdom. So, you know, if I were to adopt a 10-year-old who used to live with another family, a group home, a group home, a foster home, and then he comes into my home, and now he woke up every morning and he just rolled out of bed, went downstairs and went into the refrigerator, and when he was feeling good later, then he spoke to people. No, but in the Bailey household, when you see somebody, you say good morning. Okay. Maybe come outside from playing at the foster home or the group home, and then you come outside from playing and you go right into the refrigerator and go get yourself some. No. In the Bailey household, we wash our hands before we go to the refrigerator. Maybe like some of y'all do, maybe you go to the refrigerator and maybe you get the bottle of orange juice and you just take and you drink from, like y'all be watching these folks do on the TV. You know what I'm saying? Like they be doing on the TV. No. In the Bailey household, you don't drink it from the... No, other people got to drink this. You get yourself a cup or a glass and you pour it in there. So you're teaching them how things operate in this family. When you get born again, you got to know how things operate now you're in the family of God. I know that's how you did it over there. I know that's how you did it when you were a sinner. I know that's how the rest of the sinners do it. But now you're in the family of God and you have to learn the rules of the kingdom. You have to learn what it is to really be a kingdom citizen. So we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Now, go to Matthew 6:24. Through Matthew, we understand this. Jesus says this. Matthew 6:24. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about two kingdoms here right now, two systems. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon refers to the world's financial system. Or if you allow me to say, the God of money is what mammon refers to here. You cannot serve God, the true God, and the God of money. You cannot serve the true God in this world's financial system. You're either going to, he said, you got to make a decision for how you're going to live. And even though people like me, preachers and teachers like me, who try to give you real practical stuff, we give you 3 steps to this and 5 to this and 7 to this and 10 to that, I've discovered most things in the Word of God, it's really broken down in 2. Either walk by faith or you walk by sight. Amen. You either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. There's the Old Covenant, there's the New Covenant. You're trying to operate under the law, you're trying to operate under grace. Most things are divided into 2. Well, that's how it is when it comes to this financial world. It's either the world system or God's system.
Are you concerned that your needs aren't being met? God can and will meet your needs supernaturally. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains God can provide for you in ways that are unexplainable when you use your faith. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Supernatural Provision.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.